Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Zivi Owens, and you're listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. This 30-minute podcast features a new author interviewed by me every single day, 365 days a year, for about 30 minutes. I am also the publisher for Zivi Books, which publishes 12 books a year in fiction and memoir. Our books are already out now, and you can check it out on zivibooks.com. And we have a magazine called Zivi Mag, where we have lots of wonderful essays and lifestyle features. That's at zivimag.com. We have classes at zibiclasses.com. And I recently opened a bookstore in LA called Zivi's Bookshop at 1113 Montana Avenue at 11th Street in Santa Monica. I hope that you are able to enjoy some of our other offerings. But this here podcast is the basis of all of it and started in 2018. And no matter what I do, this is basically my favorite thing. Enjoy. Jessica Saunders is the author of Love Me, a novel. Jessica is a lawyer whose dream of writing fiction gave way for many years to writing legal briefs. A graduate of Cornell University and St. John's University School of Law, where she was a St. Thomas More Scholar, Jessica was inspired by the loss of a dear friend to finally pursue her passion. Jessica lives in Westchester, New York, with her husband and 2 daughters. Love Me is her debut novel. Welcome, Jessica. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Love Me, a novel.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Zivi.
So exciting. I love the premise of this book. I love your writing, your sense of humor, like the way you totally capture momhood, motherhood, whatever it is. Tell listeners what Love Me is about.
Sure. So Love Me is about Rachel Miller, who is a lawyer and married mom of 2. And her life is suddenly turned upside down when letters of her and photos of her and her high school boyfriend, who is now this world famous actor, Jack Bello, are published in a tabloid.
Amazing. Wait, so you're a lawyer yourself writing a book. This is your first novel. Where did this come from? Why stop the press and start writing in the midst of your own career? And why Jack? Did this happen to you? Did you really have a boyfriend like this?
I mean, Ryan Reynolds and I.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I always wanted to write. I'm a reader, you know, as long as I can remember. I've always had a book with me and always had my head in a book. So it wasn't far-fetched for me to say, okay, one day I'm going to write a book. It was really a dream. And then I hit 40, and unfortunately I lost a very close friend of mine, which was, yeah, thank you. I mean, I know it triggered something though in me where I was like, okay, I've said I wanted to do this and I haven't. I'm working, yes, but you know, you can always carve out time. So I signed up for a class and I just, you know, I had a bunch of different ideas, but this was the one that I was like, I'm excited. I'm into this. So I just I really was full steam ahead, and it became kind of like all my free time. I just said, okay, this is what I'm doing now. So I very much focused on writing and loved it. It's such a joyful process. So I loved it.
It can be. It can also not be.
True. You know, I'll tell you, for me, because I've never done this before, because I had a whole other career, there was a lot less at stake. Mm. I was doing this for me. And I'm such a reader that I found that, okay, I can put down the books that I'm reading and instead focus on my own. And I think it just became, you know, my routine and my nightly, like fun time, you know? So I agree. But for me, for a first time author who actually has another job, there was just less at stake, I think. So it made it a lot. And now, of course, I'm like, oh my God, I have my book out and I want everybody to read it and I want to be, you know, successful. So now I feel much more pressure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing that they say, you know, if you don't enjoy writing, like, why do it? Right. I mean, there's certainly a lot of hurdles that come with this whole thing. So, But where did the idea of the old boyfriend and the old pictures, where was that? It just popped into your head one day.
Actually, no. I have a close family member who used to be married to someone who dated a very famous woman. And I was chatting with her about it. And she was telling me a story about like how she first found out. And I was like asking her a million questions. And, you know, I said, did you guys ever think about selling his photos of her? Like, that would probably make a lot of money. And a light bulb went off. And I was, this is a book.
It was really
inspired by that. And then, of course, I mean, I did have a boyfriend in high school who I was madly in love with. And it just sticks with you. And there's something about that first love whenever it comes up in your life. And I think it's such an informative experience to all of us, you know, your first heartbreak and those first feelings of just like totally being enmeshed in some other person. So that was sort of easy for me to tap into and fun to visit.
I actually just started reading. It's not coming out for a little while, but it's called First Love by Lucy Danziger. I bet you would love it because it's essays and she does weave in like some information about first love, but it's about friendship and close friends and loss. That. I don't know. I feel like.
No, I would love that. And yeah, I love like, essays. I do.
I feel like I should like moderate a talk with the two of you eventually.
I'm in.
She doesn't even know this. I just got it in the mail. Anyway. No, there is something, of course, about those first impressions. She says in her book, it's about the primacy effect in part, right? Where you remember things that happened first, like first on the list for the grocery and all that. But obviously it's also how impressionable you are. And the love can go to friendship. Wait, tell me, do you mind talking about your friend and what happened and who she was and all that?
No. Oh, she was the best. Her name is Suzanne and we went to college together and she had cancer and it was just such a terrible experience. But we were so close I have this really lovely group of girlfriends from Cornell and she was at the center of our group. You know, she was the one who planned all of our activities and like getting together and we set her, my husband and I set her up with her husband. So, you know, we're really close with him as well. And after she passed, my girlfriends and I were like, what are we going to do? Like we have, you know, to honor her. And I think, you know, for some of them, it was as simple, like, I'm going to say hi to like the UPS delivery man because she was that person, you know, she just was so positive. And for me, it was very much like, I know life is short, but I also know that Suze would like do anything in her power to make something she wanted to happen. She was a lawyer too. She used to do open mic nights. She was a singer, songwriter. And she like, during COVID, she created this, like basically like a nursery school for her children, but was a lawyer. So she would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and write a brief and then do that. And so she just inspired all of us. And I think, you know, our group is so tight. Not just because, I mean, we love each other in this history, but I think it just really unified us and, you know, the loss and the trauma of that, but also just this idea that, you know, she made us better and we want to carry that tradition on. So thank you for asking. I mean, it was really, it's a horrible process. It's a horrible thing to lose a friend, you know, at a young age, as I know, you know, as well. And, you know, it really shapes you. Oh. But I like to think she's looking at me and proud.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, why is it always these like vibrant, amazing women, right? Is it all just to teach us a lesson? I mean, obviously not, but it's like, I don't know.
It's true, though.
Like so much sparkle and brightness and light. And
that's who she was. It's true, actually.
Did she have kids?
Yeah, young kids. So, but they're doing amazing, and her husband's a superstar, and her sister lives in her town, you know, in the same town. So she's part of her life, and really just a community. And that's what's amazing too in life. Like, you see people just rally around you during hardship, and so that's been really nice to see everybody just supporting the family.
Well, I feel like community can go both ways because also in your book, you know, when things happen that are unexpected, community has very strong feelings about some of those things.
Absolutely. I think there's – so I value my female friendships like top – you know, it's like family, you know, my kids, my friends. And it's so important to me to have these close-knit friendships, and they're just so meaningful to me. And for Rachel, she also has these two best friends that play such a big part of her life, but she does live in the suburbs. And I too, like, I know what it's like to live in a tight-knit community, and people talk, and it can be wonderful, but it can be really challenging because she was very much judged on her past, judged just on like people assuming things about her. And I thought that was, it made it a lot of fun to write because you know, I could see that absolutely happening with my friends, as well-intentioned as we all are. You know, it's sometimes gossip is hard to resist, unfortunately.
Yes, very true. So what are some of the books that you had to put down to write your own? Like, is this the genre that you like to read? Are you all over the place? Or tell me about that.
Yes. My friend Lee Stein tells me I'm an omnivore reader because my book is, you know, it's marketed as romance. I think really it's more of that women's fiction, contemporary fiction with romantic elements, because it's really just, it's more about Rachel's journey, I think, than, you know, her relationships with a man. And I don't read actually a ton of romance, and I have now because I've been exposed to the genre. I love Alyssa Sussman is so fantastic. And Rachel and Solomon, whose books are super spicy, which is like, whoa, but I like, you know, it's fun. It's just a fun, you know, break from, because for me, like I generally am more interested in literary books. It's just what I pick up. So like I read so many great books last year. My last Innocent Year by Daisy Warren was so good. I loved My Murder. Did you read that? Katie Williams.
No.
It's sci-fi, but it was just really smart and beautifully written. I also loved Everything's Fine, Sicilian. Mm-hmm. Oh God. It was a wonderful book. So I just, you know, I'm like you, I'm a reader. If you put a book in front of me with an interesting premise, I'm read it, and I'm going to read it fast. You know, I think that's our superpower, right? Like being able to read a book and read it fast.
Yeah.
And can go and keep going to the next.
You know, I felt like over winter break, I was like, okay, I'm not reading fast enough. How can I read this faster? Like, I wanted to read a book a day when I didn't have my kids. Like, come on, what's my excuse? Like, go, go, go.
You also have a life and a husband. And it's funny, I don't know how you feel, but like a lot of my friends just don't read nearly as much as me. And they're always like, how do you do it? I'm like, you know, this is what I'm often choosing to do.
Yes.
And it's not like, it's just what I find fun. So like, it's not bad that you're watching television. That's what you do to relax.
Yes.
And like before bed, I just love to read. So, I mean, it makes it easier, but it is hard to work it in, especially with our minds going a million miles a minute on all our other life activities.
But then it's like that great feeling when you start reading something and you're like, oh, no, no, no. Like everything shuts off and you're like, no, no, I'm staying up late. I don't care what time it is.
Right.
This is I have to read a little more. Let me just keep going. It's such a great feeling. So it's
It is such a great feeling.
I feel like I just
stay up way too late.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't know. I personally feel like I don't feel like that with enough TV shows or
something. Yeah.
No, like I don't find that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just watching the wrong shows.
No, I hear you. I like to watch TV too. You know, it's like something I do with my husband, but but I agree. I think a book can suck you in a totally different way.
Yeah. And also, I only watch with my husband or with somebody else. Like watching TV isn't something I ever would do by myself. Like if I ever had free time, you'll never find me on the couch just like turning on the TV and being like, what's on? I'm laughing. I know that's like such a common thing, but like I would never do that. I'm going to pick up a book or do something else. So, but there's no judgment.
Of course not. I mean, because there's so much content, and I also think people, you know, unfortunately, you know, you're on the phone and you're scrolling, and like, and part of that is just keeping up with what's going on in the world. And so,
yes,
it's hard to justify, I think, for people to sit on the couch and just sit and watch TV. It's, you know, I'm similarly minded, but there's great shows out there.
No. Actually, I find the majority of what I'm watching on TV is when books are made into TV shows, because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is now, you know.
I know.
Chemistry or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So are you writing another book?
I want to write another book. I have dabbled in multiple new books. I think it's tough, right? Because there's so much people don't know, you know, about publishing. I think there's so much that goes into a book, you know, before it comes out. And because I have a job, I'm finding it much more challenging this time around. This is when we talk about the pressure of like writing, where before I was like, this is for me. And now I'm like, well, I'm out there. So I have definitely a few different things, and I'm just trying to dig into something. So hoping to have more time.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes we all have stuff we need to get off our chests. Even if we don't think it's interfering with our daily life, there are some things you just haven't processed, be it grief or trauma, eating disorders, anything. It might be time to work on those things, and I have a solution for you. Therapy. Online therapy by BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I took the brief questionnaire online where there were, I don't know, 20 questions. It didn't take long at all, maybe 3 minutes. And then I got matched with a therapist who could help me work on whatever. I picked trauma because even though it happened in 2001, I am somehow still not over the loss of my friend on 9/11. And it is what it is. BetterHelp is going to help. And I am so excited, especially because with my special code, instead of $80 a month, it is 10% off, $72 a month, which is so much less than traditional therapy. And you'll get a perfect therapist for you. There are 35,000 therapists to choose from, so you'll find the right one. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/momsdonthavetime today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/momsdonthavetime.
Awesome. And how do you balance, you know, family life, and you know, what are your hacks?
I have so many hacks.
Or like, just how do you, I don't know, what are like, is there anything that works particularly well or doesn't, or I don't know.
So, you know, when I'm writing, I definitely will do it to, you know, that is when I have free time. I'm going to write. And so, you know, that's why I felt like I wasn't reading as much when I was writing. It really, as I said, it just really became part of my life. So for me, like, I think we're always going to try and have that alone time, you know, at night. Like, I have an 8-year-old who still really needs to be put to bed, but my 11-year-old, she's on her own a little bit. So, you know, once my little one's down, that's me time. I try to make that stuff happen, but it's tough. I mean, the good thing is my kids, especially my older one, just loves to read, which is amazing because you can see it's like in you, you know. Yeah. It's not something, she just wants to be reading. So mm-hmm. we'll sit together and read together and our own books. And I feel so connected to her lying in her bed separately reading. It's just a special time for us. So I do that. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough. My girls know I love them, but you know, sometimes I'm being pulled in a lot of different directions, as are you. It's just, I think it's what being a mom is today.
Yeah.
And it's tough. And that mental load.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I know. I realized as I was going through all these like vacations and I was like,
yeah,
they have a second day off for this holiday. Like, I didn't know that. And I planned like a lunch for an author and like, I don't know. It's just always like, I don't know, whatever.
I had that back from New Year's. I had to be back in my office on January 2nd. Mm-hmm. Apparently my children did not have school that day. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And I have such fabulous friends who are like, I'll take them. But I'm like, I don't want to feel rushed. So, you know, mm-hmm. I did end up getting a babysitter. Thankfully, you know, there are people I can call to come be with my children, but it is so tough. And if you're not looking for those days, like, you don't necessarily know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until a friend was like, oh, what are you going to do? What are you talking about?
I know. I'm always like, thank God for the other moms who are like, hey, does so-and-so want to have a play date on the day we don't have school next, whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And it's going to be at your house.
Yeah. It's so funny. I mean, when I was a stay-at-home mom, I would be the one who would like organize a grade-wide play date on those days. I'm like, oh, let's all go play Gaga. I'll take your kids, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm like, help.
Well, your kids will be very grateful and remember that. And it's really special, you know, and now they're seeing you become this superstar.
Oh, please.
And, you know, but I feel it too. I feel like how grateful our kids will be to see us, you know, succeeding and doing what's our, you know, our passion. So.
Although my daughter, who's 10 this morning, was like, so when I grow up, like, could I write just one book and that's it? Or do I have to write like lots of books? And I was like, oh, no, you can write one book, you know? She's like,
You don't even have to write a book.
I know. It's so funny.
It's so cute.
I'm like, it's not the easiest thing, but you know, if that's what you want to do and you feel like you have to. But to your point of readers, like, I really do feel there's something you can foster the love of reading in kids, right? By like kind of forcing it on them, honestly, or like working really hard to find the books they love. But I do find, even with my own kids, that there are variant degrees of how much they just innately love to read and how like naturally that comes to some people.
It's true. I am still very close with the girls I grew up with. And, you know, they used to joke that I would bring my books at sleepovers and I would just be like,
that's what I would do.
I'm going to read now. Bye. With my
flashlight. Oh my gosh. We like would have been friends. I would go to, they would all watch horror movies, which are too scary for me. And I would like take my novel from like my mom's library and sit with like my friend's mom in her room and hang out. And even still, I just ran into that friend. I'm like, how is your mom?
My best friend.
So crazy.
It is.
So what are you looking forward to on the tour and the release of the book and just like all the stuff? Like, what are you excited about?
So I'm meeting, it's really exciting to have it finally in people's hands. I mean, to me, it's like, I've been talking about the book for, you know, how long it takes to come out and between, you know, the writing, then the getting the agent, then the, you know, getting it sold. And so And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being on social media, like, pre-order my book. So I'm thrilled that it's going to be out in the world. On my launch day, I'm going to be with Annabelle Monahan,
who I love her.
A dream of a person. She was one of the first people who, you know, authors who read my book and was so, and seemed to love it and like really supported me. Just, she's just an amazing person. And then I'm going to the, so that's in Greenwich at Athena Books, which is just the most beautiful bookstore. And then I am going to be in the city on the day after, on January 17th. I'm going to be with my best friend from college, Lindsay Brooke Weiss, is an influencer. She's fat into fashion and she's a stylist, Coco and Cashmere. Follow her if you don't. She's awesome. So I thought it'd be fun and really kind of great, you know, a little more interesting and different to have her interview me. So we're going to sit down together at the Upper East Side, Barnes & Noble. And then the next day I'm going to Carle Place, Long Island, where I'm from near there. And so a lot of my friends from growing up will be there too. So I'm excited. And just a few more things I'm planning. I have your event in March at Athena on my calendar.
So good. Yay.
For that. Yeah. I can't wait for that, but it's fun. I mean, I love how some authors are like communicate with their readers. And so like for me, I think I'd really, you know, just because I'm like a regular person, you know, I would love to zoom into book clubs or visit book clubs if I'm able, because I think there is something so exciting. I would love that opportunity. And one thing that's been so great about being an author is starting to be able to message books, you know, authors of books that I love and saying, I loved your book. I'm sure I could have done that before, but if, you know, I feel like I'm a tiny bit more street cred and it is so, you know, I'm less intimidated reaching out. And I just like, it's so cool, isn't it?
It is so cool.
They are, right? As you say, they're our celebrities.
They are. I still feel like that. I'm like,
thank you too.
I know. Like the other day, so I read A Dog's Purpose, and you know all those books, A Dog's Purpose by Bruce Cameron. Anyway, I happened to read like the whole series to my son when he was younger. And then recently, like his wife reached out and said she had read my memoir and I consequently bought the Nini's Treats crumb cakes I mentioned in the memoir, and that Bruce was eating them all. And I'm like, that's so cool.
That is so cool.
It's just so cool. I like flipped out about it. I'm like, you know, because then I picture myself and my son on his bed reading those books years ago. And then I fast forward. I mean, it's all just so crazy to have a relationship crazy with authors. I don't know. It's just the cool.
No, it is. That's how I feel. And I wonder if, you know, it's funny. I like could go on and on about some of these amazing women that I've met. And one thing that I found that's been so surprising and fabulous is how warm and welcoming authors are. You know, it does not feel like a competitive environment, which is so, and everyone's lifting each other up.
Yep.
And that, you know, that's rare, I would say. Yes. Certainly that is such a fabulous part of this industry and really has been such a pleasant surprise for me. So I'm really grateful. You included. I mean, it's really just nice to, you know, you're putting yourself out there and you don't know what you're going to get. And so it's been good. It's been really nice.
I mean, I think the thing is like, you know, luckily there are so many readers, right? Yeah. And everybody has their own things that they bring to each book. So if everyone was competing for like the same 20 readers, yeah. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Or maybe.
No, I mean, right. That is the difference, right? With movies or whatever, TV show, like there's no limitation on, you know, like what you can be reading.
And right.
I agree.
Or you could read, you could have the same reader and they just read all of the books. Right. Like you're more likely to appeal to their reader or
exactly.
Whatever. I don't know. But I have found the same thing. I have been, you know, this whole podcast, I mean, it's amazing. People are just so willing to open up like you today, you know, it's like, let me delve into your private life and your losses and your family and, you know, whatever. And everyone's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, great.
Bring it on. It's so funny because we're not, you know, I'm writing my book and it's yes, some of it is inspired by real life, but it's not me. And it is interesting coming on and talking about yourself, you know, because it has nothing to do with your book, but it is so, I'm so grateful to be able to do it. And I think people find it interesting, right? Like everyone's listening to your podcast, so there must be a reason.
I always feel more connected to the book when I know the person behind the book.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't just like plop down from like the universe. You know, like somebody sat there and typed it all out and thought of it. And like for me, it just infuses it with so much more meaning. And I don't know. And I'm like rooting. I'm rooting for the person when I hear about it. I don't know. How can you not? So
yeah, I agree.
So I must say it's a rarity to hear of someone who's just like, I want to write a novel and then writes one and gets it published and have it be like good, like yours. Like, what advice do you have for aspiring authors? Because usually you have to write a couple novels to make, you know, the practice round novels. What advice do you have?
Right. No, you know, I will say one benefit was not having any knowledge of that when I set out. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to write, you know, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to find an agent. I just, you know, part of it is probably a little bit of confidence, but I think too, because I'm in such a different profession and I'm still doing it, you know, like there's very specific paths that you follow in the law. You go to law school, you work hard, you get a job. So it didn't translate for me. I learned quickly. Publishing is so different because, you know, I'd send an email and I'd hear back, you know, 2 weeks later in the publishing universe. It's just a different, whereas in the, like in my legal job, it's immediate. But, you know, in terms of advice, I would say the best thing to do is to start. You know, you if you have an idea, or even if you sort of have a tiny seedling of an idea, getting in the habit of writing is huge. And just, and I do think that you don't have to set, you know, I wrote relatively fast, but I think just putting a little time towards it each day is worth it. The other thing I did, which I loved, I took a class online with Gotham Writers Workshop, and it was an evening class, and it was, you know, it was a live class. And so for 3 hours, once a week, this is what I'm doing. I said no to all plans on Wednesdays because, you know, I was very much in demand on Wednesday evening. Turn everybody down. But I was very committed. And that got me, you know, I didn't have a knowledge of the craft. I don't have an MFA. You know, I know how to write legal briefs, but there is a very big difference between writing fiction. So that was so wonderful. And it allowed me to start to think like a writer, to understand what goes into writing a book. I do have one more piece of advice that I learned in this class, which was, and I think people are so precious about their writing, which I get. And certainly as a writer, you want every word to be just like perfect. But there is something about that messy first draft and just going full steam ahead and not rereading constantly and tweaking as you go. For me, that was like the best gift that I could have gotten, that advice, because I really did just write. And at the end, I had a piece of work that needed a ton of editing, far more editing than I realized. You know, I learned that in the process, but I did it. You know, I had a first draft. And so that really is the only way, I think, if you can get that. Otherwise, it's going to take you years to come up with something if you keep stopping yourself. So that's my advice.
I love it. I love it. Oh my gosh, this was so fun. Your book is great. I'm so excited for you. And
thank you.
Above all else, you sound like you're really an amazing friend. So your friends all sound very, very lucky to have you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I love this.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.